victory and love will be our everlasting. Love, we're gonna sing. Yes, yeah, sing. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm praising our Redeemer there beside. Yes, sing. Yes, and oh, what joy, what joy will we. Yes, we're going to rest beneath the cloud. Oh, Lord, and in that land where saints never die. I know we're going to sing. Oh, sing. Bye. Oh, what joy, joy when we get. Yes, we're going to rest, rest beneath that cloudless. Oh, Lord, and in that land where saints never die. I know we're going to sing. Oh, sing. Bye. Oh, what joy. Oh, what joy when we get home. Yes, we're going to rest beneath that cloud. Good God and in that land where saints. I know we're going to sing. Yes, sing. You got one more. Oh, what joy when we. Lord, we're going to rest beneath that cloud. Yes, and me. That land where saints. I know we're going to sing. Oh, sing by and by. Amen. Church, say amen. Oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath that cloudless dome. In that land where saints never die, we're going to sing. Praise the Lord. Sing praise the Lord by and by. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house? I'm so excited to be here this week, man. I'm excited to be in the Lord's house every time I come. But I'm sure enough excited to see y'all in y'all pink today. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's good to be in God's house. Yes, Lord, I'm so excited to be in the house of the Lord. I don't know what else to say. Maybe I should just extend the invitation. Some of y'all say, yeah, good idea, good idea. Good idea. Yes. Victory and love will be our everlasting thing. We'll sing hallelujah by and by, praising our Redeemer there beside the crystal stream. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. Thank you, brothers, for leading us in our worship up until this point. We're just excited to be able to worship God every Sunday. But this Sunday, the world has decided it was Resurrection Sunday. Now, Easter Sunday. Now, let me say, in the body of Christ, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. This ain't nothing new. We do this every week. And if you're visiting with us, you don't believe us, come back next week. We'll be here. We're always excited to be able to study the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of God. And we're excited about what God has done for us and what the resurrection means to us. So today I'm going to get right on into the passage of Scripture because I know some of y'all got reservations to eat. And I don't want to mess that up. 1 Corinthians, I said, y'all, I was really talking about me. My wife's going to give me. She already gave me a time limit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 8. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you.
Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last to all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born. From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up the title, Your Response to the Resurrection. Your response to the resurrection. Here we go. Now, first of all, let's be clear. The resurrection is real. Amen. I just want you to understand that the resurrection is real. I know it's real because I have faith in God. But I also know it's real because the preponderance of evidence supports it. Now, preponderance of evidence is something, is a legal term that's often used in the court systems. And pretty much what it means is if you have more than 50% of evidence that proves one thing, then that thing must be true. You follow me? So what I want you to understand is that the preponderance of evidence as it relates to the resurrection proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was buried, and that he got up. Now see, if y'all really love the Lord, y'all be excited about that. I need you to understand that the resurrection is real. Now, there are those out there and many theories that talk about the resurrection. And they say things like, oh no, the God isn't real. And they have all of these different theories that they throw out there to try to weaken your faith. Well, I'm tired of people telling us why the resurrection is real. So what I want to do just for a few minutes, I want to look at the most common theories that they say about Jesus, not the resurrection not being real. And then I want to prove to you that those theories are false. And then I'm going to tell you, because Jesus is real, then we need to respond in a certain way. Now, there's a first resurrection. One theory is that Jesus' body was stolen. He never was resurrected. His body was just stolen. All right? Well, I don't believe that. But we're going to go through scripture and we're going to find it. Now, Jesus, the theory is Jesus' body was stolen, and they wanted to make it look like Jesus had risen from the dead. So they took his body so the prophecy would be true. Well, let's look at it. In Matthew 28, you see that's when Mary comes to the tomb. And she comes to come and anoint the body. Now, let me tell you, it's important that you understand that has very important cultural significance. Because in the Jewish custom, the funeral would last 7 days. And what they would do is they would go into the tomb and they would anoint the body over the 7 days. Just as a part of the funeral process, you understand? So when she comes to find Jesus on the third day, it's important to know that she's coming because that has very much cultural significance. She's coming because that's what Jews did. Well, the question is, well, then why didn't she come on day 2 or 3? Okay, good question. Jesus died on Friday. The next day was the Sabbath. They don't do anything on the Sabbath. She couldn't come after nighttime, but who goes to a tomb in the middle of the night? Can't do that, right? So soon as she could, first thing Sunday morning, she got up to go and anoint Jesus' body. Now, if you look at Matthew 28, 1 through 10, you realize that the disciples could not have stolen Jesus' body because they didn't even know that Jesus' body was gone. Y'all see that? She comes looking for the body. And then she runs back and she tells the disciples, they have taken away my Lord. Y'all follow me? So I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get through this. Now, the body couldn't have been stolen by the disciples. They didn't know it was gone. Now, well, then you say, well, maybe the Jews stole it. Well, let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, the Jews were concerned Brother Jones, if you get that, Matthew 27, 62 through 66. The Jews were concerned, and I think the Bible says that the deceiver, and when they say the deceiver, they're actually speaking about Christ. They were concerned that the disciples might steal his body, right? So look at what they did. What does it say there? What does it say there in Matthew 27, 62? Yeah.
That follows the day of the preparation.
Okay.
The chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate.
Right.
Said,
Sir,
we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive,
after 3 days,
he would rise again.
Uh-huh.
Command therefore that the supper will be made sure
until
the third day.
Yes, sir.
Lest his disciples come by night.
Uh-huh. Right. Go ahead.
So the last error shall be worse than the first.
Right.
Pilate said unto them, you have a watch.
Okay.
Go your way, make it as sure as you can.
Yeah.
So they went and made the sepulchre sure.
Uh-huh.
Sealing the stone.
Yes, sir.
And setting a watch.
All right. Now listen to this. The disciples didn't steal it. The Jews made sure that it wasn't going to get stolen. They went in Matthew 27 and they said, look, we heard, remember when Jesus was alive, he said that he was going to rise on the third day. So we want to make sure that the disciples don't steal the body, because if they steal the body, then his prophecy or what he said will now be worse if the prophecy comes to life than it was before he died. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
So then they put a guard, a Roman guard, on top of the on the tomb. Now, a Roman guard is anywhere between 4 and 16 men. And then they sealed the guard, they sealed the tomb with the Roman crest, which pretty much means if you broke this tomb, you would die. Y'all follow me?
Yes,
sir. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if the Jews didn't steal it and the disciples didn't steal it, who stole the body? I'm telling you, it wasn't stolen. And I know it wasn't stolen, because if you go in Matthew 28, when the guard came back to the Pharisees and he said to them, the body is gone, the Roman Pharisees said, well, listen what I want you to do. I want to pay you so you will tell the people that the disciples stole it. Y'all follow me? The body wasn't stolen, y'all. Jesus got up. Theory one, that's over. Number two, they said that Jesus, the disciples, didn't really see Jesus. He was just a ghost. All right? Well, let's go to Luke 24. You remember in Luke 24 when Jesus appeared, they actually thought they were seeing a ghost. Y'all remember that? And he said to them, he said, don't be afraid. It's me. And they looked and they said, they was excited, but they still was like, I don't know. So then Jesus said, look at my hands. Right? Look at my feet. And he says, touch me. And they touched him. Let me tell you, y'all, I ain't never touched no ghost. Right. Y'all follow me? Yeah. Now, some people will say, well, Darwin, you using all the Bible to defend what the Bible says. Well, I'm glad you said that, because I want you to understand that the Bible is definitely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, an historic book. And I use Luke specifically in this passage, because if you look at Luke in the first chapter of Luke, Luke starts off by saying, I am writing this book after I have searched and I have seen, I've been an eyewitness, I've heard from eyewitnesses, and I'm going to write an account to the most excellent Theophilus. Now, the reason why that's important is because Luke was a scholar. So what Luke said is, I'm writing this to Theophilus. We're not really sure if Theophilus was a lawyer. We're not sure if Theophilus was someone that was just a name of honor. But we know for sure that he put the word Theophilus in there to make sure that you understood it was an historical record. Now back to here we go. So he thought it was a ghost. Bible says, no. Jesus said, touch me. And I ain't never touched no ghost. And then this is the part that really just makes it go away. In verse 42, they said they fed him fish.
Amen.
Y'all ever fed a ghost fish? Jesus wasn't a ghost. He got up. Regardless of what you hear, I need you to understand that the resurrection is real. We ain't through. There's another theory, and this one is probably the most prevalent, and it's called the swoon theory. And pretty much what it says is that Jesus didn't die. He was just beaten so bad that he fell unconscious. And he fainted. And then from all the pain. And then when they put him in the tomb, the coolness of the tomb revived his body. Y'all hear that? That's a bad theory from the beginning, but here we go. The coolness of the tomb revived his body. But let me ask you, how would a man beaten so bad that he fell unconscious get out of the tomb? Who removed the stone? That's just common sense for me. But I'm going to give you more than common sense. Who removed the stone? Who overtook the guard? You telling me Jesus was not dead, beaten almost to death, got out of the tomb, removed the stone, came up out of the tomb, whooped the guard, and then walked off? Don't make sense, do it? The reason why, because it's not true. The Bible says that in John 31, it says his legs were not broken because when they saw him, they knew he was already dead. And why? Well, what does that mean? See, they broke the other two criminals' legs as to hasten the death. But because Jesus was already dead, they didn't break his legs. Now, we know that that goes along to another prophecy, but the bottom line is he was dead, y'all. He wasn't asleep. He wasn't unconscious. He had not fainted. He was dead. The Bible also says that when they pierced him in his side, that water and blood came out. Now, if you are a doctor, you realize that water and blood is a sign that his lungs had collapsed, that he had died from asphyxiation. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus didn't fall asleep. Jesus died and he got up. Now look at this tomb. This is a common tomb during Jesus' time. Y'all see this? This is what they're trying to get you to believe. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching this sermon for two reasons. One, because we need to know by faith that God is real and God got up. But also we need to know intellectually when people bring us bad arguments what the truth is. Especially those of you who are young adults that are in college classes right now and that you're hearing all of these different philosophies, and these different philosophies will taint your image of God if you're not careful. So I want to give you a good clear picture so when they start talking all that noise in class, you know what the real truth is. You telling me a man almost dead got out of a tomb that looked like this. Let me show you what the tomb looks like. It comes from the ground like this. Y'all see that? You come down into the tomb, and then you go down to the second level of the chamber. So Jesus would have been around, y'all can't see that, right around in here in the lower level. Y'all follow me? So this man moved the stone, got up, walked up, got over, walked up, came up into solid ground, whooped the guard, and kept on moving. It just doesn't make sense. I'm trying to help you see. This is what the tomb looked like. And not only would he have to get up, the tomb has what they call a niche. So what he would have to do, he would have had to slid out. Y'all follow me? It just doesn't make sense. God didn't come out of the tomb. He wasn't asleep. He got up through a miraculous power. He proved through his resurrection that he was God. If you want to celebrate something on Easter, celebrate the fact that God is God. Not only do I know it from all of those, do I know that's true? I know because one of the most important forms of evidence is eyewitness. And our text says in verse 6, verse 3, it says, "For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture." So that means the prophecy already said it was going to happen. And then who did he appear? He appeared to Cephas. One person saw him. Then the 12. 13 people saw him. Then more than 500. 513 people saw him. Then he went to Thomas, and then me. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible is telling us that not only are the theories that have been placed out there by man to say that Jesus is not God, are they bad theories? Eyewitness account says that we saw him. We saw him die. We saw him when he got up. The preponderance of evidence says that Jesus is exactly who he said he is. I need you to understand. I don't let nobody tell you how to believe in God. I hear it all the time, man. I get text messages about, well, Brother Mason, do you believe this? Brother, yeah, I believe it. I believe it because I have faith, but I also believe it because the facts just align. God is God. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is exactly who he said he is. Matthew 28:6 says he got up just like he told you he would. If you look at Luke 24:44-49, get that for me, Brother Jones. It's important that you understand. Luke 24:44-49. When you get that, just go ahead and start reading.
And he said unto
them. Yeah.
These are the words which I spake unto you.
Yeah.
While I was yet with you.
Stop, stop. Now what's happened is he has risen from the dead. He said, look at my hands, look at my feet. They fed him, and they still are astonished. They're amazed that Jesus is there. And then Jesus looks at the people and says, listen, this is what I told you was going to happen.
While I was yet with you.
When I was here, I told you. Go ahead.
That all things must be fulfilled.
Come on.
Which were written in the law of Moses.
Yes, sir.
And in the prophets.
Yeah.
And in the Psalms.
Yes, sir.
Concerning me.
Yeah, so he said it was written in the law of Moses. That I said I was coming. I was going to get back up. It was written by the prophets and the Psalms. So everything you've read up to this point said that I was coming, I was going to die, and I was going to get up. I told you this was going to happen. Keep going.
Then opened he their understanding,
uh-huh,
that they might understand the scriptures.
Yeah.
And said unto them,
uh-huh,
thus it is written,
yes, sir,
and thus it behooved Christ to suffer,
uh-huh,
and to rise from the dead the third day.
He said, listen, now let me, just in case you didn't know what the prophets and the psalm says, let me help you understand the scripture. And the scripture said that Christ would die and he would get up on the third day. Go ahead.
And that repentance,
yes, sir,
and remission of sins,
yes, sir,
should be preached in his name,
all right,
among all nations,
uh-huh,
beginning at Jerusalem.
Here we go. Now, let me stop right there. So now he says, and this is what I love, he says that I'm going to die, I'm going to get up, and after I get up, you're going to preach.
Amen.
See, because the resurrection is important, but just as important to the Christian as the resurrection, it's your response to the resurrection.
Amen.
See, because sometimes we get really happy and we start to shout about God getting up. And we do all of those things and we do, we're so excited in church. And then we walk out Monday morning and we act as if
tragic, sir.
We don't have a response. I'm trying to help y'all. If you don't hear one thing today, hear this. Jesus is who Jesus said he was.
Amen.
That means that what he says has value. If Jesus is who he said he was, that means that I have victory. That means if Jesus said he was going to live and die, and then in John he says, I go to prepare a place, that means that just as his word was good when he got up, his word is good that there's a heaven. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus is exactly who he said he is. See, and the resurrection is so powerful because that's what separates Jesus from everybody else, even you and I. See, if I wanted to, I can get up here and say, my name is Darwin. I was born of a virgin. I can say that. I can say, I am going to die for your sins. And I can say all this. This is the part that will mess me up. And I'm going to get up. There are a lot of people out there that say they do things. They say they're benefiting you. They say they're dying for you. They say all of those things. The problem is when they die, they don't get up. But our God got up.
with all power in his hands. And I'm just happy that he got up. So let me give you a few really quick points. Write this down, because I got 7 minutes. Here we go. Everything is real because of resurrection. Here we go. First thing, because Jesus is real, because he has risen, here's your response. Point number one, look to Jesus in everything. See, for in him we have life and move and our very being. Because God is God, then I need to look to God. I need to look to God regardless of what the situation is. See, when we are ready to look to Jesus when trouble strikes, but when everything is going well, we try to lean on our own strength. What I'm telling you is that if you're smart, no matter what your day is like, you will wake up each day looking to God. In joy, in sorrow, in triumph and trial, you better get up and look to God, because he is the thing. God is what sustains you. Point number one, look to God. Point number two, learn from Christ. This is where we struggle. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is the reason why we can't look. The reason why we don't look to Christ is because we don't learn from Christ. What do you mean? See, when it says, let the word of God dwell, what it's saying is, let the word of God live in you. Y'all hear me? See, I may go, as a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm going out of town. And when I go out of town, I'm staying at the Marriott. Y'all hear me? Now, and I want you to understand, because what I'm getting ready to describe to you is how we act. I'm staying at the Marriott. I'm going 3 days. And I'm going to stay and sleep in the Marriott. I'm going to be a visitor at the Marriott, but that will be a temporary dwelling place for me. Y'all follow me? I'm going to leave the Marriott, get back on a plane, and I'm coming to 3928 Lloyd Road. That's my house. 3928 Lloyd Road is where I stay. That's where I live. That's where all my clothes are. That's where my love is. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
So when the Bible says that let him dwell in you richly, he's saying you need to have a relationship with God like I got with 3928. Right, right, right. Some of us got a relationship with God like the Marriott. Right. Y'all didn't even see me coming, did you? We don't let God dwell in us. We temporary visitors. We come in, we stay for a little while, then we leave. We don't even come plan to stay. We bring luggage with us. Y'all missed that. I said, we don't even plan to stay. We just bring our baggage. And as soon as we get through with our baggage, we leave. But if we really want to be close to God, we have to dwell in him. We have to let him take residence in our house. Some of y'all are baggage Christians. Uh-oh. Okay, I gotta go. But let me say this. Some of us are baggage Christians. We come to God with the things that we need him to take care of. We stay in there long enough for him to take care of the things that we need. And then we leave, get on a plane, and go visit Satan and stay. If you believe that the resurrection is real, then you need to live. You need to learn from Christ, which means you need to let him dwell in you, and then he'll impact everything you do. Yes. He'll impact your speech. He'll impact your attitude. He'll impact how you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you act on your job. All of those things happen when we learn from God and let him live on with us. Yes. Why do we do it? Because the resurrection is real. Some of us playing games. I'm pretty good right now. I ain't always been this way. But I'm pretty good right now, but I'm pretty consistent everywhere I go. If you come to me and see me at work, I pray for you at work too.
You ask me a question, I tell you a little theory and a lot of Bible. I'm just telling you. I'm pretty good, but I ain't always been this way. And some of us are not this way, but let's get it right. We need to live for Christ and learn for Christ each day. And then we got to lean on Christ. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy understanding. See, when we look to Christ and we learn to Christ, it's learn from Christ, then it's natural for us to lean on Christ. I don't have no problem leaning on Christ because my relationship, it shows that he's going to be there. Stand up, Eric. Stand up. Come here. Come here. Come here. Now, Eric ain't Christ. Y'all, come here. Eric ain't Christ, but Eric is a good man. And I know Eric. And I know Eric well enough to know that if I was to fall and I lean, y'all caught that? He going to hold me up. But the reason why I can lean on Eric is because of the relationship that I have with him. Some of y'all come up here, I ain't leaning on you. I'm just telling you, you might move.
Right, right, right.
But what I'm trying to tell you is, once we learn from Christ, and once we make sure to live with Christ, then we're able to lean on Christ. Okay. And if we were really being honest and we were being smart, we'd do more than lean. We'd just let them hold us.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Eric might fall out.
Yeah.
I picked up a couple pounds. Since Thanksgiving. Lean on Christ and not to your own understanding. We fail when we refuse or when we try to lean on our own power, our own possessions, and our own position. I am a principal. That means that I make a lot of decisions every day. There's nobody in my building that has the final decision other than me. The only reason why I make decisions with confidence is because I don't make decisions by myself. I say, God, help me. And then when I make a decision, I make it with confidence. Not because I'm that good, not because I got a degree in it, but because God has never failed me. Come on, y'all better have somebody. Trust in the Lord, I'm trying to tell you. And then the last thing, you got to love like Christ. For many of us, we don't like to love. I'm going to be quiet. I'm just going to say that. That could be the end of the sermon. We just don't like to love. We good at everything, but loving, we just fall short on. I'm just saying, love is something that allows you to help somebody overcome. That means when somebody has done you in, somebody has mistreated you, somebody has spoken your name bad, you still have something inside of you that makes you love them regardless of what they do. How do you know that's what Christ, that's what it means when it says love is Christ? Because that's what we do with Jesus. What do you mean? We walk around calling ourselves Christians, and then we go and behave like we don't love Christ. And Jesus has to love us anyway in spite of us. So when I tell you got to love, you got to love as Christ. I told you last week, you're unlovable. You are unlovable. The moment you get that in your heart, the better you are at loving somebody else. The moment you really understand that I am unlovable, God loves me anyway, then you'll be more merciful to somebody else. Some of y'all just won't forgive. I don't know why you won't forgive and you get forgiven every day. You are lovable. But God continues to love us. I say that, and every time I say you are lovable, I look at some of y'all and you make faces like, I'm lovable. Listen, the fact that you believe that you're lovable means that you have a trouble with telling the truth, which makes you unlovable. What you mean? If you believe that you're lovable, from God's, what I mean by God loves you. See, because God knows everything about you. He knows the things that you will never say out loud. But he loves you anyway. What I'm telling you is that you're unlovable, but God does it anyway because God is love. And if you're sitting here today, right here in this seat, proud, saying, I don't know what Brother Mason talking about, I'm lovable. That means you lie to yourself, which makes you have a characteristic that can't be loved. Love is Christ. As we walk in love, as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us. Christ loved us so much that he died on the cross, taking our place. We must love God
and others in the same way. To live for Christ today, we should look for him, learn from him, lean on him, and love as he loves. Y'all hear me? The question is, well, why would I do that? Because of the resurrection. That's it. See, when Jesus was raised, he finished everything. He finished the prophecy concerning our salvation. He finished sacrifice concerning our salvation, the promises concerning us. See, he finished it all. And because he loved us so much, it just makes sense for us to love him. Our faith is our faith because God is God. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm through. How I do, Kayla? Go on and stand to your feet. What I need you to understand is God died for your sins. Today is Sunday morning, which means today is Resurrection Sunday. Because God died, was buried, and got up, you have victory. Victory over death, victory over sin, and you have victory. What I mean, victory means you have won eternal life. Listen to this again. This is what the resurrection does. It gives you victory. Amen. I know y'all stand up now. Y'all say, we can't say amen when we stand up, but it's still true. It gives you victory. Amen. Victory over death. Death, where is your sting? Victory over sin. Amen. I didn't say you're going to be perfect, but I'm saying you don't live in sin anymore. Amen. And you have forgiveness for sin because God got up. And it gives us this wonderful eternal victory. We won the championship, y'all. We get a chance to be in heaven. Yeah, I don't excite y'all enough. I am going to heaven. I say that with confidence, flat-footed. And the reason why I'm going to heaven is because God got up. And he gave me victory. Oh, Darwin ain't going to be going to get it all right. No, he going to mess up. He probably mess up this morning or mess up again at the end of the day, but he going to keep on trying. But I, even though I know I might not get it all right, I still stand with confidence that I'm going to heaven. And the reason why I stand with confidence that I'm going to heaven is because of what Jesus did. Not because of what I'm able to do, but because of what Jesus did. I'm so excited that I got a Savior. And that's what I'm inviting you to. Amen. Come on down now. Amen. You can come on down now. Don't you come down here to me. I told you last week. If you come because you want to hear drumming, no, I will let you down. All right. But Christ will not.
Amen.
Come on down. And when you get here, all you do is hear the word. What's the word? What I just said. Believe it. Believe that Jesus rose, or died, and rose again. Hear, believe, repent. Pretty much say, I'm going to do my best not to do that no more. I'm not going to do that no more. And I'm telling you, if you want to see what repentance is, y'all remember Peter? Y'all remember Peter right before Jesus died? Right before Jesus died, Peter said, I don't know the man. I'm just going to tell you the power of the resurrection. Peter said, I don't even know the man. When Jesus got up, Peter preached the first sermon on Pentecost. Why do you think he got that power? Because he understood the power was in the resurrection. Amen. Repent, say, I don't want to do that mess no more. I'm going to do my best. Hear, believe, repent, confess, just say, I believe, and be baptized. And you can walk a new life.
Amen.
Right now as we sing, Jesus.